Hello, 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 and we are back with Saving Lives. I'm Bernadette. We have Art here doing all the controls.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
And we have two special guests. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Denise.
I'm Jessica.
And I've had you guys here before on separate occasions, and I'm so grateful that you guys are back because you guys are amazing women in my life, and we have a big, we had a big day going on today.
Yeah, for sure.
It's nice to be back.
And thank you for being here. Mm-hmm. So, what was our day like today? We are going to New York, or no? Yeah, we're going to New York.
Brooklyn.
Yeah, going to Brooklyn.
Blessings of recovery.
The blessings of recovery, absolutely.
We're in Jess's new car.
Yeah.
I know, it's perfect. And Art just got back from California.
And Oregon.
And Oregon, oh my goodness.
Wow.
It's amazing. So topics for today, I know for me, like I've been having like a goofy day. I just started working out again yesterday and because I had a hard time fitting into my clothes and I literally wanted to post something saying, you know, that feeling you get when you lose all this weight and you can't fit in any of your clothes. And I wanted to be like, dot, dot, dot. Yeah, me either. So that's the kind of day I'm having. But I'll tell you what, like trying to actually work out again, even though my calves are killing me, I have all this energy and it's like, insane.
It's good though. It's good energy.
Mm-hmm.
That natural energy.
Natural.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Natural. Keyword.
Exactly. Natural. Absolutely. And with being in recovery, it gives me those gifts of being able to like live naturally and just being excited to be here and being able to be here with two amazing women that are in my recovery life. Like, what better gift?
For sure. You know? And to be able to share it with other people is great. Mm-hmm. You know.
So I know, Jess, congratulations, you just got a new car.
A new car, new job.
Yay,
a lot of big stuff going on. Yeah, for sure. It's awesome.
Dreams.
Dreams coming true. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm allowed to, I guess I can say this. So Denise is Jess's sponsor. So when they say, when I first heard about recovery and I heard of a sponsor, I thought it was someone that would pay the debt that you owed. You know, like when you get a team, a pizza place, a sponsor. Yeah. You know, a team, a sports team, like I legit thought that that's what would happen, but no, that's not the case.
No, it's not the case at all.
Not at all. I'm not paying any of her bills.
No. Right.
I mean, if you want to, that's
not happening. Not happening.
It's great.
One of the gifts of recovery is sponsorship and not just being a sponsor. It is one of the greatest gifts. I don't know what she can speak to. I know having my own sponsor is incredible. Like, that's a gift that she's a consistent person in my life. And she is the only person, I think, in my life that if she said do something, I would do it no matter what she says.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, okay. Because it's worked. No matter what she tells me to do, it's always worked. And I'm able to, you know, be where I'm at today because of it. But the gift that I get from sponsoring other women is, I mean, it's just... There's no words for certain things that you get to feel in this journey.
How would you describe sponsorship?
Mm.
Like to someone that isn't in recovery yet or that needs to be in recovery.
I feel like it's that person that you can tell things to and talk to. And it doesn't always have to be about recovery, but just about life. And it's that person that you can bounce things off of to know if you're on the right path or not. You know, it's that person that can kind of call you out and say, no.
You're like, being an asshole.
Yeah. You're definitely doing the wrong thing right now. Or, you know, you're totally deceiving yourself or, you know, whatever it may be that kind of can look at your life and help you spot your own, you know, self-deception,
mm-hmm.
you know, that can kind of pick out, what you're doing and try to guide you, you know, mm-hmm. in a lot of different ways. I think big, major decisions, I don't think it's smart for anybody.
Oh, we have a caller.
We have a call. Oh, look at that.
Oh. Saving lives.
That's exciting.
Mm-hmm. It's great when we get calls.
I know. Oh, maybe not.
Oh, I don't know who that was, but whoever you were, call back.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it happens, right?
Wrong number.
The line is also attached to, you know, a hotline that they can direct people over to get help that they need.
Oh,
it.
God.
Saving lives.
That's my need.
Hold on one second.
It's Samantha.
Oh, this is exciting.
Hey, Samantha, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hi, Samantha.
Hi, Anthony.
Thanks for calling.
We have Jess here, too. And
hello.
Samantha, we know that you are a big advocate in our area for, you know, the, like, recovery and, you know, the walks for those that passed. Do you want to shed a little light on that and, you know, say when the dates are? And
Yeah, I'm actually not involved in the walk. I did go to the walk, but that's not my thing. But what I started last year was my own candlelight vigil for the people that we love and lost to the disease of addiction. It's impacted my life, the disease itself, and losing people. So it's really important to me to, you know, have this event because they're not forgotten. And to me, it's just a night of remembrance because I, you know, I just lost my uncle, my second uncle. And it's just really important to me that they aren't forgotten and there's awareness brought to this and they did not die in vain.
That's so incredible.
Samantha, that is being held in June, correct, the vigil?
Yeah, the vigil is June 24th at 6:30 p.m.
And that's where are they? Are we having it the same place that we did last year? That we attended?
It's the Upper Chichester Municipal Building. I have to double check, but I think it's 8400 Fury Road.
Yeah. It was really nice last year. I attended. Mm-hmm. Samantha had asked me to come, and we went, and it was beautiful and overwhelmingly sad at the same time. What do you say, Sam? It was overwhelmingly sad, but what was beautiful was the fact that they were able to gather all those people to support each other who had all lost family members. And it also afforded the opportunity for some addicts to show up, mm-hmm. who had been struggling, right. I guess, who got the opportunity to see the effects that it has on everyone and how many people there are to support them. That's how I saw it. Mm,
that's incredible. That's so amazing.
Right. Yeah, and that's why I thought that it was important, because I know that there's some people that are still struggling. That's why I thought it was important to have, like, an NA table, an AA table. Even we have grass there and, you know, grief tables. So I felt like all the resource tables that we have there were available to anybody with any issue regarding this there. So that's important to us.
Now, Samantha, are you yourself in recovery, or is it you just have the experience?
I struggled with my own issues. Actually, in May, I will have 7 months. I went to Miramont, and I got my life together.
So congratulations.
I'd say my biggest battle after getting myself together was dealing with my family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
That's incredible. And we have Art here, too, who does all the mechanical stuff. He actually is like, there wouldn't be a show without Art. He himself, it's his daughter struggles with the disease of addiction, but she's, you know, she's in recovery. She has some time now. And, you know, he gives his time back by, like, making people aware. And, like, that's also what you're doing. You know, not only do you have your own things that you struggle with and, you know, you're in recovery yourself, you're also, you're stepping out of the box and you're sharing that this is, like, literally an epidemic. And it's your neighbors. It's the person across the street. It's, like, we're everywhere and people are dying. Like, so many people are dying every day. And, you know, what you're doing is truly, like, something that's so beautiful that people could see.
She has a Facebook page that she posts to. Which I find to be very helpful. I see when I read the Facebook posts, Samantha, I'm not sure if you would agree with me or not, but I think a lot of people with her age group, she's a little younger than me, mm-hmm. They use Facebook a lot, mm-hmm. and it's an opportunity for them to go on there, and they share their experience, their strength and hope, and a lot of them share their struggles, and then Samantha reaches out, and she's able to get people to, you know, it allows an opportunity for someone like myself who might not know these individuals, mm-hmm. In any other form to post. What is the name of that page, Samantha?
It's Not One More, Save Our Generation.
And it's on Facebook.
That's great. And we'll be able to,
Not One More,
you know, mm-hmm. tag her in, you know, because people will be able to, like, go back and listen to the recording of the show at any time if they couldn't, you know, be here live or listen to it live. So, you know, we can add a tag to that so that people that listen to you and hear you, they're able to actually, like, go right to your link and get in contact with you.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Mm-hmm. That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
She's a great girl. She's great. She's a little loud. Right, Sam?
Just a little loud.
Well, I'm at work right now, so I gotta be quiet.
And that's her quiet, people.
Wait, this is great because I'm also loud, so it just, it fits perfect.
Oh, you have not met loud till you've met the whole family, right, Samantha?
Exactly. Yep.
But she's a great girl, and she's doing big things, and she has a great heart, and she wants to just help people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been a rough road for the family. But Samantha brings, you know, one of the blessings from losing the family members has been that Samantha carries on their name in mm-hmm. in all that she does. Right, Sam?
Yep. Yes, I do.
So. That's incredible. Keep doing what you're doing. We need more people like you. Thank you, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Love you.
Love you, too. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling,
you're welcome.
Sam. Have a great
Bye,
day.
Bye.
Bye.
She's a really
great girl. Oh, I gotta meet her.
That's great. She's really great.
I love that.
Yeah, she's all about it. She is all about recovery. Mm-hmm. You know, having people find places. She doesn't completely understand us completely, but yeah. She wants to save everyone. I think that's the biggest thing is like when I have to say sometimes you can't, and that's a hard thing for us
that
to
is.
Know. That's a hard thing even for us in recovery. You know, with sponsorship, how far do you take it?
Right.
How many times have we seen people that we love or care about in the rooms walk out?
Mm-hmm. And then die.
And then die. Or the ones who keep going out and keep coming back and keep going out and we keep trying to tell them that's not what you want to do. And they tell us they got it. They understand. They know what they're doing.
I know. And it's like, no, you don't know.
You don't. Because if you did know, you'd stop doing
mm-hmm.
it. What did we say this morning on the phone?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to come back. And I think it's crazy.
You know, it's so much easier to stay than it is to get back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It can't be any harder than
it's
like than getting clean or sober or, you know. I know it's the ego and the pride which is in the way of that.
No, I think the disease, I think for me, what I believe what really happens, and I've relapsed. When I first got clean, mm-hmm. it was many years ago. I relapsed and then I came back and I have not since many years ago, 1997,
mm-hmm.
it's been 1997, that I've not, but I've had those moments. We talked about that, where it doesn't matter how much clean time you have. We have those more addicts. We struggle. That's what we do. But you share about it. You mm-hmm. let other people know because that guy who's got 5 days, at least he knows he's not alone.
Right. And even I had to speak at a meeting last week and, you know, it was one of those rough days for myself. Like physically, like my body was sore. Mm-hmm. I was mentally and physically tired. And when I used, it was to cover up the pain, regardless of the pain I was feeling or, you know, my emotions. And like, yes, the thought crossed my mind. Like I could easily just go like pick up something to not feel the pain I was feeling. Like I didn't want to use, I didn't want to get high or anything like that. Like I just didn't want to be in that pain, but I didn't. And I called people and I talked about it. And then I was able to go to a meeting and speak on behalf of that and then share a message of like hope. And, you know, it was on one of the steps that, you know, I work in my fellowship and just like turning your will and your life over to a care of God of your understanding. And I didn't know what that meant because I hated a higher kind of power from the beginning that I can remember. It was always the bane of my existence, or I was the bane, or damaged, or whatever damaged goods. And it's like, no, like I got some serious guardian angels with me.
Oh, for yeah. sure.
That's right. That's right.
And you just see all the people that, you know, come in here, they do really well, and then they leave, and then trying to get back. And, you know, I mean, we were talking about this morning, like, you're given a gift, you know, mm-hmm. like, because that second time coming back, I mean, is so much harder. The third time coming back is even harder, you know, like, it's like, I don't want to know
feel
what
like
that's
that.
Like mm-hmm. to have to come back. And I feel like it keeps getting harder. So just stay, you mm-hmm. know, it's so much easier just to stay.
And like want it, like, and want to live. So people that, you know,
but we've been in recovery. Being in recovery doesn't necessarily mean like all the problems go away.
I mean, oh, no.
We've hit some of it. We've had some rock bottoms even in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
But to know that no matter how bad it gets, it's still not as bad as it was out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter how sad it gets, no matter what,
it is not something, I don't know, sometimes, you know, I don't use in spite of, mm-hmm. in spite of, or that's the only way I can describe it. In spite of what's going on, I won't use. I'm not going to use. Samantha was on the line, and we have several people in our family who have passed away from the disease of addiction. And so what do you do? Would I use? No, I wouldn't use. That would be the worst thing to do. That would be,
a cop out.
Right. It's a cop out. It's a lot of things, but people do that. People use death as a reason to relapse, when the real reality is the relapse already started before you even picked it up, mm-hmm. okay, because you stopped doing what you got to do. But for me, it's the disease. It's always the disease. We talked about that this morning, Jess, about it's the disease that's talking to you.
Right, for sure.
It's not just...
and it tells you things that, I mean, it's unreal. Mm-hmm. It's unreal.
It's literally like, it's that saying, there's a monkey on your back. Like, it's bigger than a monkey.
Between
it's like
the
a gorilla.
Devil and an angel.
Recovery is a commitment. It's not something you can do for a week and go, okay, I'm all good now.
Yeah, and it's not like a cure.
And I think people are showing us that all the time. You know, people coming in and out and people saying, I'm just going to go drink, or I'm just going to go do this or whatever.
Going to drink they're just replacing.
Absolutely. And listen, I have not seen it work yet. I haven't seen it work yet.
You let me know. Let me know how that works out.
And it doesn't work, but that's discouraging. How do you tell someone 20 years old that she can never have it?
But that's why we try and say just in the day. In the day.
I'll tell you what, Art, when that was told to me, when I went to my facility, I was like, no, what?
Because you're going to rebel right off the bat.
I was like, wait, what do you mean? I'm just coming here to like get off of that thing. Like, what do you mean? I eventually want to get married and have a toast. Like, I thought I was going to have a welcome home party. Like, what do you mean I can't do this? Yeah. Exactly. What do you mean I can't do this?
Cake and cookies and juice.
That's how messed up the thinking is. The thinking is like, it was just.
Yeah, but what? I think that kind of stuff, and it is, it's scary at first, but I think that kind of stuff kind of fades away with time. Mm-hmm. I got married in recovery, and mm-hmm. I did not even think twice about having a little apple juice in my champagne glass, didn't even think twice about it. And you know what? Like, it's the chance of something happening, I don't know for sure. I can't say, 100% certainty this is what's going to happen. But if there's a chance it's going to lead me back to where I was, then it's not worth it. And I don't know. I think, I was talking to a friend of mine who actually is coming back around, and she's really struggling and everything. And one of the things that she said that really changed was when you get rid of that clean time, right? You don't have anything holding you back anymore. So if you're saying, I'm just going to drink, when you drink, you get rid of that clean time. Mm-hmm. So now there's not that thing kind of over your head saying like, you don't want to do this because it's going to, that clean time does something for you, kind of puts that barrier in between it to like, I'm not going to drink, or I'm not going to use or whatever, because I don't want to lose my time,
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Ooh,
we have another phone call. Who's calling?
Saving lives. This is a big deal, man.
I know.
So we're saving lives one day at a time. You're in the air.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Fern. It's Nicole.
Hey Nicole. We have Jess and Denise
How are
here.
You?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Nicole.
Hello.
Hi, is that Denise?
Yes, and Jess. Jess is here too.
Hi, Nicole. Hi, guys. How are you?
Thank you so much for calling in. We're going to have you up here on one of these days, honestly.
Like, that would be so cool to get her up here.
Definitely. Because Nicole's doing...
Wait.
So we were just kind of talking about, how you tell a 20-year-old that they can never, say drink, if they go to treatment for one particular thing, or... it's like a hard pill to swallow in a sense, so that was kind of like our topic.
Pun intended.
Pun intended. Pun intended.
I never understood. Do you say no pun intended, or do you say pun intended?
No pun intended unless you really want to intend the pun.
I got to get a dictionary. I don't freaking know what you're talking about. So do you have any light to shed on that, Nicole?
I'm sorry.
Do you have any advice?
Are you guys really hard to hear today?
Sorry, doll. Do you have any advice to give for, you know, people that are struggling to come back into the rooms, or somebody that goes into treatment and is told that they can never pick up a mood, mind, or altering substance?
How do you get into their head that they have to try and kind of overcome this never being able to use again kind of thing?
Correct.
Yes. Yeah, never be able to drink. Oh, I won't be able to drink at my wedding, or, you know, that kind of thing.
For me, it's really easy now, but then it wasn't. Then you think that your life is over, and how are you ever going to celebrate and enjoy things? My desire to stay clean was greater than my desire to use for long enough that I was able to see the bigger picture, in that drinking at my wedding is not going to make it a better time.
Right.
And that my life is so much better, and it's so much more worth it to not even try and fantasize about that one drink and how it will go. Just have to get through that first chunk, and you know, thoughts still come up about wanting to use, but I just stay grounded and remind myself that my life today is so much better, and that one drink would never be worth it. It would never compare.
Yeah, I've said that before too. You know, I was so concerned with being able to have a toast at my wedding, and I'm not even engaged. Like, I think I've said it before on the show. I'm not engaged, and my biggest worry when I got out of treatment was not being able to have a toast at my wedding. And I didn't have a boyfriend.
Know about you
I didn't
guys,
have a boyfriend at the time.
But I was a sloppy drunk. I mean, I could imagine being like sloppy drunk at my wedding. You know, like not even like just being a mess. Like, oh, thanks for coming.
I was pregnant, so there's other reasons for you not to drink.
I would
your
probably
wedding.
Be in the bathroom.
So was
time.
I didn't even know. Right. That would have been bad.
But like, you go back to the way that you drank, go back to those things. But really what it comes down to is the consequences. When people say, oh, I could never drink again. I can't drink again. What are you talking about? I go, no. You can. You have the choice.
Oh, sorry. We must have lost you, Nicole. We love you so much, and thank you for calling in. But yeah, as you were saying, like, you can.
You have the choice to do it, but know what the consequences are.
Right.
Right.
I have the choice today. We all three of us have the choice today to make whatever decision we want to make.
Mm-hmm.
But are you willing to pay the price?
Right. Yeah, and that's what it is.
I
and
I'm at, not
it never
the price.
No, and it's never worth it. That I mean, that little bit of, you know, maybe how good it feels is not worth all the consequences.
Play the tape. You got to play the tape through. I mean, we talked about today with you you said about the clothes fitting. So one of the things, and it's a serious issue, is we do fill the voids, as Art said. We fill them. We fill them with shopping. We fill it with, you know, gambling, sex,
candy.
Okay. Candy.
Cheez-Its, pretzels, Snickers.
Because as human beings, we have addictive behaviors.
Right.
Whether they're harmful or non-harmful.
Mm-hmm. Right. But that's what we do. So then we get, you know, we have all this gratitude, and things happen, and we fill the voids with all these things. But there's consequences to filling all of those voids, which is the pants not fitting anymore.
I know.
And
like,
which is why
smoking.
I started working out yesterday.
Right, yeah. And that's what happened. 3 years ago, I quit smoking. And I have to tell you, I joke with Peggy and Candace all the time about, you sure we can't just use for 30 days? Because I could drop a few pounds real quick.
That's what took me out in my relapse, was that exact thought.
See?
That's how powerful those thoughts are.
Yeah.
But that's the disease. Mm-hmm. For lack of a better way to explain it, I think of it sometimes, probably because of my upbringing, is that, you know, the angel and the devil. It really wants you to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
It really wants you to be harmed. So
it
stop
wants
thinking,
to kill you.
Right. So for me, if I think of it as that force, that negative energy that we talk about so much, that negative energy that doesn't want me to succeed, doesn't want my family happy, doesn't want me to live. It wants me to feel that darkness that I have felt, which has caused me to use.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the positive energy, which is when I walk into a meeting and see the people I see, the conversations that we have, going to New York, stopping, you know, doing things like that, those things, you know, having relationships, real relationships, like Jess is married. And happily married. Mm-hmm. Like, who would have thunk it, right?
Yeah. Who would have thunk it? I love that.
Who would have thunk it? I'd be happily married and be able to, like, talk to my
real spouse. Conversation.
Yeah, and actually be able to like say, you know what, this is bothering me, and like him try to fix it. Like, you know, like that
communication.
Kind of stuff,
is that real communication?
Forget it. I'll tell you what, my ex-boyfriend, we beat the crap out of each other a lot. Because there was no communication, and I was using, I don't know what he was doing, but.
I'm like having a picture physically beat the crap out of you, or like.
Oh, no, physically beat the crap out of you.
I don't think that's
I mean, I was more of the aggressor than he was, mm-hmm. but.
I was having an image in my head. I'm like, literally.
See, but no, that's literally. Unhealthy to have a healthy relationship, to even know what, wait, to know what a healthy relationship is. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Between, you know, couples, like, you have a very nice relationship. Mm-hmm. He's a fine-looking young man.
Mm-hmm.
So, but not just those relationships.
When's Pete going to buy that ring?
I wasn't bringing that
up. I had a better chance of seeing the Lord. But it is what it is, you know? So, right. I just turned 30. Ew.
I think you
Happy birthday.
No, look at you. You are 30 and clean you're an entrepreneur.
You know what I said?
It's all because you follow the next right step.
And speaking of relationships, so like I have a relationship back with like my mom and dad, and I sent them a picture yesterday, and it was like, don't worry about raising a princess because you've raised a warrior.
Aww.
And I said yes. that. I was like, I and then my mom That's gave cute. Me like, you know, she's like, absolutely. And I was like, nailed it.
Yeah.
I like crack myself up sometimes, but that's in reality, like we are right. all warriors. Like,
sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
We have scars and stripes. And
I say it all the time. Addicts are one of the when you think about who we are and what we do and what we've been through, we are some of the most amazing people on the planet. And if we could just continue to use our talents for good instead of evil.
For sure.
The world would be such a much better place, you know?
Absolutely. I've met some of the most amazing, strong, smart, you know, driven people in recovery, you know?
Loving, yeah,
loving,
kind.
Yes.
Help another individual like you would not believe.
Right.
Supportive and...
What's so cool is we're all from all over the place, different races, different nationalities, different sex origins, different...
Everything.
Ages, like some are from the streets, some are from, you know, Princeton, Yale, jail to Yale.
Yale, like, Yale.
You find the most comfort with these people that are so different yet so alike at the same time.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was weird at first, like, you know, I was 23 years old coming into recovery and hanging out with a bunch of older people at a mm-hmm. diner, and I'm like, people probably look at us and are like, what is that crew over there?
No, I got clean the first time when I was 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And there was me and another guy. That was it. Like, that's the only people I knew who were in our age group. I don't ever know what happened to him because I relapsed. Because I was missing out on something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I spent my 21st birthday speaking at a meeting. And I was the most bitter, angry person in recovery that day. Because I was cheated somehow.
Yeah.
So then I relapsed, and 8 years later, right, after that, you come back in. But the gift now, in some ways, it's so sad, but such a gift, is there's so many of you young people, you know, young people coming in, that there's those other young people there,
mm-hmm.
you know, that
show them that
it can
okay.
be done.
Yeah.
It can be done.
Kudos and to the you first can young fun. Person.
Yeah. I mean, my husband got mm-hmm. clean. He got clean when he was 20 on his 21st birthday. He was in a meeting
mm-hmm.
and he had, and I think then it was hard, but I think now he's able to help other people,
right,
you know,
right,
like
right.
he's able to say, hey, guess what? I spent my 21st birthday in recovery. It wasn't that bad. You know, like,
because you can have fun,
right?
Because
you
there is fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, we laugh all the time.
Right. All the time.
All
like,
the time.
Ridiculously.
And fun's just different now. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it really wasn't, I don't really think it was that fun before, you know, like this, I have a full life and that to me is fun. You know, mm-hmm. it's fun for me to get a new job and be able to pass the drug test without a question. It's fun to be able
Go figure,
to
right?
get a new car. You know, it's fun to have a family and watch my kids grow. It's fun to to be at family events and not have to like worry about getting out of there the whole time, actually be able to spend time with family. Like that stuff is fun mm-hmm. to me now, you know, like I could care less about going out to the bars or clubs. Like it never really was that fun anyway. And I never really spent much time in them because I was always in the bathroom, you know?
And that's why it's important for somebody new to recovery to continue to go to meetings, to interact and be around like-minded people because they need to see that eventually it's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to get their life back.
Why they have those activities too. Right, like raise your hand. That's the other thing is let people know where you are and who you are, because we say it all the time. We want to get to know you. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about, is getting to know you and having a decent time. They have activities. Mm-hmm. I mean, where we're from,
a ton of stuff.
The big one will be coming up in May. It's my favorite one.
That's the one I can never meet because I'm always away.
Yes, but it's my favorite one.
It's like a big barbecue type
of Memorial Day picnic. But it's not on Memorial Day. It's a Memorial Day picnic that's not on Memorial Day. But it's the largest activity that they do. And they've been doing it for as long as I've been clean. And I've been going. And I love it because you see everybody just smiles that day. Everybody's like, hey, how you doing? How you mm-hmm. doing? And it's just nice. And they have so much to do. It's just, I don't know. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. I will say it's a different kind of fun. Mm-hmm. It's different. Unlike Jess,
And that's the thing. What's like the definition of like fun?
Fun, right. What is fun? Some place where I can go.
It was getting high before you, whatever it was you were going to do. You know what I mean?
And that was a chore. That's not why we got high, though. We got high because we were uncomfortable because you were filling that void.
Uh-huh. With something.
Yeah, you know? With something.
I mean, you're filling it with something. But that, for all the reasons you all just said, is why it's important for someone to still be persistent in their recovery.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, these girls still go to meetings.
For a long time, people go to meetings. Decades, sometimes, people go to meetings. Mm-hmm. It's hard for someone new into recovery 5 days to go to a meeting because they were loners at some point in mm-hmm. time, you know, through their addiction. And they're making that, just to get to that meeting, I think,
it's huge.
Yeah. because they've lived isolated lives and loners. And, you know, I don't think you can name a whole lot of people that went out, you know, getting high with other people. That's something you do by your lone.
Themselves.
You know why? So because it's people, not something I think anybody's proud of. I mean, so you hide it and stay on your, by yourself.
I'm wondering if it's harder to like drag yourself to a meeting if you say haven't been in treatment, because I know that they stress when you're in a facility of like to detox and everything. They say as soon as you leave here, you go to a meeting. That has to be the first thing you do. Don't go see your dog. Don't go see your kids, your mom, your dad, whoever, your spouse. Go right to a meeting. But I wonder how hard it is for people that...
I think it's still hard either way.
It is hard. Of course.
Hard to get in, going to rehab and all that stuff. But once you're there, it's kind of like, okay. But it's hard to make that jump to walk into this place that, you know, this old church. Mm-hmm.
It's so uncomfortable.
You don't know anybody and you don't know what to do or say.
I would agree with you.
Terrifying.
I think it is terrifying. And I think that's why it's so important when they ask at the meetings, at the 12-step meetings. This is your first time here. Raise your hand. I know people are terrified and all they say is, please introduce yourself. And you just say, my name's Denise. That's it. And I've seen it where people are like, I'm Denise. And they don't follow it up with anything else.
You don't have to.
It's a welcome. And that's it. And then mm-hmm. there's the phone list. And they're giving out. Like, I wish I could, like, I wish you just want to say, the three of us were those people who went to our first meeting and mm-hmm. said our names. And here we sit today.
Yeah.
And you know what? If they keep attending meetings, they're going to get that.
Right. It's being consistent. It's just being consistent.
And it's like not letting fear control. You need to put one foot in front of the other. You just withdraw it for whatever substance that you're on. Like, now it's time to put on those big girl boy panties and walk into that door, even though you want to crap your pants, and just go to the meeting. Just go. You will not regret it.
You know, a lot of times now, if you're coming out of treatment, you know, you shouldn't be going home anyway. You should be going to recovery housing or, mm-hmm. you know, where you're going to, again, be around like-minded people. There's people in that home that are going to be going to a meeting. And guess what? You should be tagging along with them so mm-hmm. you'll know where you know, that local meeting is. And, you know, maybe there's going to be several. Maybe there's one in the morning, one at lunch, and one in the afternoon, one in the evening.
I wish there was more long-term care facilities that were not the recovery, like the, not the recovery houses, but actual long-term care facilities mm-hmm. where they held you accountable. Years ago, I went to a long-term care facility, and it was excellent. Like, we had requirements. You had to make X amount of meetings a week. You had chores. You were responsible for things. There was group therapy. There was individual therapy, and then you got a job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it wasn't a halfway house, and it wasn't a rehab.
But see, all of that's a process. You can't get out of treatment, be new into a recovery house, and go get a job and start supporting yourself. You know, there's a lapse there. You know, when you get out of formal
treatment. It's like the bridge. Moving. Like the bridge between right. the treatment and
being longer. And there's more and more of that now because the insurance companies are paying for, what, 28 days?
I mean,
you know, years ago, you got like 9 months right off the bat. Boy, we killed
well, that was back. Like I said, it was back
here's
in the day.
Here's the other problem that we're going to be facing right now. I know Jess has more info on all the rules and stuff that are changing with the healthcare system and insurance you would know that too because you work in healthcare as far as what's being
but nothing's changed yet.
Yeah, right. Well, thank put God that in. That didn't happen. The healthcare bill did not pass.
So it has not changed. So none of that has changed. Yeah.
It'll be curious now that Christie's taking the reins on the opioid crisis for the White House. Yeah. I think that's exciting news.
It's very exciting when I heard that because that's the platform that he stood on. Quite a bit was the being.
Hey, we love him here, man. Everybody else hates him. We're like, come here, big guy. You know?
Right. Yeah, I don't necessarily like him as a person, but I like what he stands for at this point. Somebody needs to.
Principles over personality.
Right.
And in all reality, we don't even know him as a person.
He's a bull in the china closet, but maybe that's what we need to get past this opioid crisis.
I'm with Art on this one. Yeah. I'm all for the bull in the china shop theory.
I think it's really cool that, you know, Art was mentioning it before that if you go into a surgery or whatever, you're only getting like 5 days worth of prescription.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're making
like that's
big
in
moves.
Jersey. Like that's huge. I'm like that needs to be in PA.
But there are regulations in the state of Pennsylvania. In fact, because I am in healthcare, I can tell you that a lot of the prescription insurance companies, have taken the rein on that themselves, and they're not doing it. They're not allowing it anymore because there's too
many.
What I think is really happening, to be quite honest with you, is I think the trail of lawsuits might be headed
their
way.
The drug companies have contributed to this, and you know there was marketing plans. I mean, I watched some show where they sent 160,000 OxyContin pills to this little town of a population of 10,000 in the Midwest. What are you, nuts? They were using it as a distribution point. You know,
well, absolutely, because that's what the pharmaceutical companies want. But it's it's in place. It's the insurance companies as well as the healthcare providers. There's a whole realm that goes on there. But the pharmaceutical companies themselves are that's big money. You know, I've said for years now that addiction, drug addiction, alcohol, the disease of addiction itself, that is ka-ching for a lot of people. It is ka-ching for the prescription companies, okay, the pharmaceutical companies. Even some people, there are some people who are not as kind and loving, and their purpose in opening recovery homes are not what you think they are, that they are for the almighty dollar. And that gets scary when we're making money off of these addicts, these people
you know why? Because
who are suffering.
It's become an industry.
It has.
It's literally a big money industry. It is a big money industry.
You know, now, I don't think people should be like getting, it shouldn't be a cash grab. You know what I mean? But people need to make a living, you know?
Absolutely.
You have
people
bills
have to make
to pay and things like that. But
kudos to modern medicine. Like, you know, we don't hate on that or anything by any means. It's just they are prescribing stuff a little way too freely.
There is stuff going out that I know doctors are getting information on ways to look into a patient and see what else they're getting prescribed from other doctors and that kind of thing.
That was all part of the Obamacare. Yeah. I mean, was sharing that information. So it wasn't just your doctor who had your medical records and what you were prescribed to. That goes to
continuity.
Anybody that you go to, you sign a consent form and they can access that.
Yeah.
Yeah, with technology too, all you have to do is it's all on the computer.
Which
is a blessing.
You know, so it'll be curious to see what's going to happen on a federal level, though, now, right? Because Christy really isn't becoming the director of the Office of Drug Policy. He is heading the task force on the opioid crisis, which are two different things. So it'll be curious to see when he finishes his term here in New Jersey. If he's going to end up in Washington.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask you.
I think he will.
So how separate are they?
Well, that office, that's a cabinet position.
Okay, cool. That's awesome.
I think it is.
I started getting emails. I had complained for a long time that I didn't hear, you know, everything was gone from that website. You know, we hadn't had any communications from anybody in that office. Over the last month, we've started getting communications again from the acting director.
Excellent.
Now they spoke, you know, about Christy heading up this task force. So, you know, those are all good signs.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I was wondering why he was all gung-ho at first, and then he started taking a step back. And I'm like,
I knew when they called him to the White House for lunch, man, that he was getting something there. He could deny it all he wants. That wasn't to say hi.
Yeah, no. For sure.
That's great.
I think it's good. More people need to speak out about it because, I mean, people are just...
And we need to take a direction because, you know, who are our warriors right now? Mm-hmm. You know, families that have been directly affected by it and people, you know, in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even through City of Angels, we see people come and go. I mean, you know, when they need you, they're there. When they get fresh out of, you know, treatment... And they're just starting their recovery. They're around and they're helping and they're volunteering. But eventually they get jobs. They find a girl or a guy and, you know, and live their, you know, they're off living their lives. So it's like a constant cycle.
We need people to be
cycle.
Advocates right, for but, those right, people.
Right. And that's what we talk about in the program now. You need to stick and stay. You have to stay. That's why a home group. You have to have a home group so everybody knows where you're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to give back what's been so freely given to you.
Right.
And, you know, like you were saying, consistency.
Mm-hmm. You know, and on a parent level, you know, I mean, parents come in and, you know, you might see them for a couple of years, but once everything is fine and dandy and everybody's back on track and the family is better and their loved one is better, you know, they kind of fade off into the sunset. And, it's just hopefully it's a constant flow of, you know, volunteers to come in and continue that work.
I know at my home group last week, they do this every once a year, and they have people like me in recovery and loved ones that have someone that's in recovery or passed from recovery. They come together and they have a joint meeting. You have a speaker on their behalf, so it would be like Art would be speaking. With his experience, you know, with his daughter. And then it would be like I would speak or Denise would speak on my experience. And it's so amazing to be able to listen to them, their side of it. And, you know, there was a point where I was able to share and I was just like, dude, on behalf of all us, like, we're sorry. Not once did we ever think this was affecting you or anybody else. Not once did we ever mean to hurt you. But, like, the disease was so powerful and has in the grips. And, like, we are amazing people. And there is hope. So anybody that, like, has someone that is still struggling and that's still out there, like, there's hope. Look at all these people right here. Like, look at us. We have all these
years. And
that's
why it's important for you to go to, you know, if you're a family member, you know, what we encourage is when your loved one is getting help, that's when you need to go
get
help.
That's right.
You know, it's a family disease. It's not just your loved one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it affects everybody.
It does. That's what we're just talking about today.
Yeah, I said it doesn't just affect the addict. It affects
everyone. You know?
Everybody, the coworkers, the neighbors, the friends, the family. But most of all, like your immediate, like your kids, your mom, your dad, your grandparents. Like you don't even think about your grandparents. Nobody even thinks about their grandparents.
Actually, that's a great. We were at. We were speaking at a breakfast meeting of pastors at Hopewell like Medical Center, and. A grandmother got up after, you know, because we had brought some people that were in recovery so that they could answer questions. And this grandmother got up and go, why isn't there anything for grandmothers and grandparents? And we're like, well, there's Naranon. I mean, you know, it's not.
Yeah. That's not just for parents.
It's not like there's Granny Naranon and regular Naranon.
Right. Mean, and it's not just for parents. It's for
anybody
who loves
it. Could be your boyfriend. It could be
I know at our Dwyer Center, we have, you know, there's a wonderful ladies meeting, you know, on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. That's just a great meeting, you know. Mm-hmm. Grandmothers go to that. I mean, you know, encourage people. I think the older generation, people think that they, you know,
are
can't
naive.
Accept it or not naive or whatever. Or, and, you know, not so much. I mean,
it's pride. And it's pride, too. Because back then we didn't talk about things like right. that.
You know what? Okay. They want to understand. Mm-hmm. I never thought my parents would understand. I mean, you know, they're in their mid-80s. They're, you know, they never really finished school. You know what I mean? So, but they worked hard and, you know, they lived life and learned lessons and had a wonderful life. But, you know, we had to sit them down and explain. You know what I mean? It's not a choice thing. It's a disease. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But after sitting down and talking to them, they understood that. You know, it took a little time, but it was an education process. It was an education process for me. You know, when it walked into my life, I had to go learn, you know, what was all this? And,
right.
you know, how could I be effective and how could I help? And, you know, getting out of the way sometimes is the best help a parent can do.
I was just going to say, and that's the hardest part, is to getting out of the way. And people do need to be educated on that because people struggle with that, I think.
You know, I even think not doing anything. You know, some cultural differences. I mean, you know, I've seen some Oriental people show up at our Sunday morning breakfast meeting club. And that's for people who are in crisis right now. My kid's on the street. They're in my. Mm. They're in their bedroom, living in my home, still using. Mm. And they just don't know what to do. They don't want to throw them out. They don't want to. I mean, you have to draw a line in the sand. You know what I mean? Some place. Or offer them an intervention where they go. They're going one way or another, whether it's to treatment or out the door.
I feel like what saddens me a lot, too, about listening to, you know, the loved ones that suffer from the disease of, you know, what the addict's doing is that they feel so guilty. They feel like it's their fault.
Always.
And that is so, like, upsetting to hear that because it's not.
I don't know how you couldn't blame yourself, though. I don't know.
But as a parent, you don't know until you become a parent. I don't think that you can honestly understand.
I swear, my kid just, like, throws his cup on the floor, and I'm like, what did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong? You know, like, you can't help but think,
you know,
like,
and
you should
have
raised them. I think it's
the very first thought that you have as a parent is, what did I do wrong?
Right,
what could I have done differently? Mm-hmm. Once you start to educate yourself and start to attend meetings, you'll find out that you didn't do anything
no.
wrong.
No. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's the hard part is, like, but you don't want people to look at your child a certain way. You don't, like, as a parent, mm-hmm, I can tell
right.
you.
Right, of course.
You don't want any of those things. And then you have the, you know, and then this happens and you're like, you replay almost like whatever mm-hmm. years it is. Like
because
the last
this
20
disease
years trying to
carries
figure it out.
A stigma. If my, you know, my child got arrested, her picture was all over the newspaper. You know what I mean? Nobody's bringing casseroles to my house.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
You know, had she had a bad accident with, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or some kind of major surgery or cancer or whatever, people would be bringing casseroles to my house
right.
for dinner.
No, right, but
true.
Nobody reaches
so
out to you. Nobody says anything.
Right.
Nobody says anything.
Yeah. It's very
it's a
awkward.
Good point.
Not to mention the people that die. I think you're right. You know, if your kid dies in a car accident, you get a lot more kind of sympathy. And if it's an overdose,
but if your kid dies on a park bench, you know,
it's like,
why ooh. Should that be any different?
Right.
I mean,
oh,
but I think sometimes it's
mentality.
Almost. I don't think it's. I don't even think it's like
or
that anymore. It's almost like maybe they just. I don't know. Maybe they just don't want us to talk about it.
But
they
see,
might
that's
not
why
want to talk about
GRASP
it.
Yeah. actually got started because okay. parents who lost their children to overdoses were going to. The parent, you know, grieving for losing your child, and they were like, why are you here? You know what I mean? Like, that could have been prevented, that type of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really how GRASP got started is, you know what I mean? They needed a place to go where other people, you know, other
understood.
Parents would understand.
Yeah.
And
I think that's huge. I think you need that because there's so many questions. And, you know, I mean, just last night, a friend of ours passed away. And you know what? I think there's a scary thing out there that people think the people that die are the ones that are doing heroin. You know, they're not the only ones that are dying. They're the ones mixing things they shouldn't be mixing. They're the
like
ones
like prescription medications,
yeah, right? You know, the ones that listen. There are lots of drugs out there, and you can die from a lot of them. You know, it's not only the, you know, like, so you're not in the clear.
You can die from drinking too much.
Right.
I was just going to say, yeah.
Right. You're not in the clear just because.
That's a legal drug that I think any of us at this table could probably go to the liquor store across the street and purchase.
Right. For sure.
Now the supermarkets have it.
That's a big misconception now that those are the people that are going to die. Not me, because I'm just doing this. Well, that's not always the case, you know.
Well, it's never going to be me, right?
Right. The famous last words.
I'm not that bad.
They are the famous last words. I'm not going to die.
I have to tell you that when I was at that vigil last year, to see that group of people that I saw that were together, and it was quite large. I think it was like 200 people that were there. And see that they were just as different as the addicts in the rooms, as far as, you know, where they came from, what color they were, how big they were, how small they were, all of that. But to see them, to actually see these people who are kind enough to reach out to each other and support each other the way that they are. But you could see that there's something missing. And my prayer is always that they find some peace, and knowing that the addict that we know so well is at peace. They're not suffering anymore. Their suffering's gone, but the family seems to suffer
long after.
Long after.
Yeah. The natural progression. You're not supposed to lose outlive your children, yeah. Right? I mean, that's just the natural progression. I couldn't even wrap my mind around that.
No.
I mean, I listen to Kevin Mira say all the time, you know, you want to know me for what I know. You don't want to be me, you know, for what I've been through.
Right.
You know, Kevin's the, you know, our co-founder for City of Angels. You know, he lost him and his wife. His wife actually found their son on the bedroom floor. So,
oh, my gosh. I
can't even wrap my mind around that.
No,
I know?
Can't.
And I think that's part of the problem, you know, with other people is they don't even know how to approach you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be any different than
losing your
child.
Or they don't know because
anyway.
Everybody keeps everything under the rugs.
Well, I was just going to say,
we're doing this kind of stuff.
I know a family, good friends of mine and Joe's, and they lost a daughter who a few years ago who committed suicide, and I believe, you know, that was very difficult for them. And then 2 years ago, we were out. Joe and I were out. We had just gone to a recovery. We were involved in something in our area. And we went out to get something to eat. And my phone rang. And I thought it was very odd. This woman, who's not in recovery or anything, she called. And they had just found their son, who had just gotten out of jail maybe a month and a half before that. Not even. And his father found him in their home, and he was dead. And when we got there, this man became like mush. This was a strong man. I mean, a strong man. He was a hardcore man, and he was mush.
Because that's going
to
weaken your knees.
Mush.
You know what I mean?
There's no doubt about it.
And he was
the worst
begging.
Thing in the world. I don't think there's anything worse.
And his wife was saying to me, and I'm getting chills all over my body.
I'm going
to
have goosebumps.
She said, Denise, he didn't want to stop. He didn't want to stop trying to save him. And he was gone. Yeah. And he was gone. And I kept saying to her, you know, and it was so sad because I said, but how are you? And she said, I have to help him. Like the love that, I mean, this was a woman who couldn't even mourn for her child because she was so overwhelmed watching her husband.
Yeah.
It was just terrible.
And that goes on a lot. I mean, you know.
All over the place.
We have, you know, our Sunday morning breakfast club, like I said, which is... you know, you need help right now. It's all mothers. You know what I mean? For the most part. I mean, you don't see very many fathers. A couple.
I think it's important to say, because I was actually talking to my friend this morning that's, you know, struggling, you know, with the passing of this gentleman. You know, she's in this place where, you know, she's got like a week or so clean, just got out of rehab, and if fear worked to keep people clean, no one would ever use again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if fear worked, yeah, if the fear of dying or, you know, fear of putting your parents through that worked, we wouldn't have this issue, you know? Like, so I think it's important to say that all these things that we're saying, it's sad and it's, you know, like, but if you're out there and you still want to use after hearing all this, like, that's normal. It's normal. Very. It happens. Yeah. You know, like it's and I think it's important to just not. You know, like to want to is one thing, to actually do is another. So it's okay to still want to use after hearing about all the people dying. It's okay to even want to use more because of not wanting to feel all of this or whatever the case may be. But like,
don't do it.
Just don't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, like do not pick up. Give it another day.
The first question we ask, you know, when we're trying to help somebody is, you know, party boy, party girl, or
yeah,
you know, you just can't stop,
right?
You know what I mean? There's a difference.
And just to add to that, I just got a message from someone that acknowledged the passing of our friend last night, and you know, she said, "Keep doing what you're doing, and we are so lucky.
We are so."
And I have the goosebumps just saying that.
We are so lucky,
and like this person, like you know, we've had relationships with, and. You know, this person had time and then just decided like he didn't have that addictive personality anymore.
Right.
He wasn't an addict. He wasn't this, he wasn't that. And just, I can be normal.
And he has fought the last 2-3 months to get back. The last year he's been in how many rehabs?
Yes, he's been.
But the last few months has been fighting to get back. And, you know, like, so. I mean, it just goes to show you, it hasn't gotten any better out there, that these people that are leaving are clawing to get back. Mm-hmm. Like, don't leave. Don't leave.
What
like,
did we say this morning? It is easier for you to stay clean than it is for you to get clean.
Yes.
It is just, so if no matter how hard it is. And like you said, we all want to use. That's who we are. We're addicts.
Yeah. I think about using all the time.
I do. And I've had moments in my life where I'm really contemplating.
For sure.
For using. However, am I coming back? I believe that's what you said.
Right.
It's just hold on for dear life. Just give it another moment. You know, my sponsor always says.
Moment to moment, hour by hour.
Right. And my sponsor always says, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And sometimes it's a really long ride through the tunnel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you it's just what? About remembering you're on that path towards feeling better permanently. You're on that path towards you not feeling that emotional pain and the physical pain and everything from using. Like, so there's that time in the beginning is tough. It's hard. It's hard in the beginning. It's, you know, like you're not feeling yourself. You're tired and, you know, emotions are just flowing through you and all of that. Like, just have to remember that you're on the path towards never having to go through it all over again. You know,
you'll never have to withdraw again.
Right.
You will never have to go through all those things again.
And you know, that big saying is this too shall pass. It's like, that's what we have to say and remind ourselves and remind other people.
Yeah.
But this was a great show, I must say, and we are pretty much out of time. I want to do my little quote before we all say our goodbyes. So, when you fall asleep tonight, I want you to think of at least one thing that has been good today. It might be difficult, and you might think there is nothing, but however bad a day has been, there's always one thing, even if it's a tiny thing, that has been good. And sometimes it can be helpful to remind yourself of that as you fall asleep. I'm Bernadette.
I'm Denise.
And I'm Jessica.
And we have Art over there. And thank you guys for listening. We're out.
Never ending. every call I do fall.